A reading from Isaiah chapter 65. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. One of the best-selling book genres is self-help books. And it makes sense why they're so popular, really. Because happiness and joy are elusive. And it seems we'll do just about anything to get it. Since 2013, self-help books have doubled in size of their sales. All of them promise a sense of increased happiness if you just follow their program or take to heart what they say. But the effectiveness of these books is suspect. It's evident enough since new self-help books are published with each passing moment. That even the New York Times bestsellers go out of style by next year. But it's especially suspect from a Christian point of view. In Christianity, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we sin against the Lord in thought, word, and deed. But the idea is well and alive in our culture that we can self-manufacture happiness and joy. That if we just look inside our hearts and change our outlook on things, or just buy a Himalayan salt light, or just exercise more, or just eat better, then we'll be happy. Now, self-help books may have nuggets of good information. Diet and exercise may be good, but the happiness these things bring don't last. It's not eternal. There's no true joy, just a surface-level satisfaction, but for a fleeting moment. When sadness and tragedy hit in life, which it will diet and exercise bring joy? Will a self-help book bring joy? Will anything that you are able to produce within yourself bring you lasting joy? Instead of looking to yourself or looking to other sinful men for true joy, look to be guided by the Word of God. Because the Word of God isn't some cheap self-help book. It isn't something that's here today and gone tomorrow with something else to replace it. It's eternal. What the Word of God says, it brings. At creation, our Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. God's Word works a bit differently than our Word. Our words describe things, but our words don't create things. They don't create reality. So if I told you in your suffering, hey, don't worry about it, that doesn't change anything. It doesn't even really mean a whole lot either. But when Jesus says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, his words actually soothe wearied hearts. They bring calm to our troubles, because what our Lord speaks, he brings. Harold Sankbell describes it as this: God's word does what it says. It transforms sinners into saints by the forgiveness of their sins. It changed meaningless chaos into order at creation. And his word can do the same for you. When you wrestle through personal tragedy and turmoil, it creates inner peace by prayerful meditation on what God tells you instead of what you tell yourself. Instead of obsessing over your fears, listen to Jesus instead. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John chapter 14, verse 27. But meditation on scripture and time spent in prayer isn't just pretending that everything is fine and dandy when it isn't. It's not about just rubbing some dirt on it to get through until the next day either. All being dishonest with God about your sufferings does is put the responsibility to be lifted out of your suffering back on you. You'll wear yourself thin, spiritually, emotionally, and eventually, physically. Being a Christian isn't about pretending things are fine when they aren't. It's not about saying the right godly words to each other when in our sufferings. Rather, it's about directing ourselves and our loved ones to the Word of God, which offers the peace which the world cannot give. Peace about suffering, peace about death, peace about our unhappiness with suffering. We can be honest about our sufferings with God, who gives these words of peace, because he truly knows the deepest depths of our suffering. He knows the dark valleys and deep sorrows. He's lived it. He left his heavenly glory to subject himself to humanity's sinful existence, taking away sin so that suffering doesn't have to be our eternal existence. Instead, the eternal word of God promises something for us upon death. He promises life. And there's even more to come in the day when we are resurrected to new life and the new heavens and new earth promised in Isaiah chapter 65. This beautiful existence explained in Isaiah 65 not just describes, but creates this new existence. When one day, death will be no more. One day, there will be no more tears of sorrow. One day there will be no more greediness and people being taken advantage of. One day there will be no hurt, no pain, no frustration, no destruction. All wrongs will be made right. And that is what the Lord's word and promise creates for us into eternity. And that is what brings joy, an eternal joy. The kind of joy that comforts you in your suffering when all happiness is fleeted away. The Word of God brings joy that lasts even when happiness fades away in suffering. Joy is knowing that even though our suffering is painful here on earth, there is assured hope that our sufferings will end and God's Word will bring us into abundant life and joy therein. And in fact, as James chapter 1 says, Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count your sufferings as joy. Not necessarily happiness, but joy. And that's not just some sort of mind game, convincing yourself that your suffering is actually good for you. Rather, count your sufferings as joy, because your sufferings are used by God to test faith. Meeting these tests with faithfulness is a great thing, because it strengthens your grip on Jesus' cross. You start to see your sufferings melt away in the sufferings of Christ, which is experienced in its fullness in the life to come. So sinful human flesh can't solve the problem of suffering that sin brings. Words from self-help books or from other sources of banned wisdom can only describe suffering, not fix it. Trust in the Word of God, and you shall receive its promises. You shall receive what it creates in sinners. You shall receive and retain joy, despite waning sadness. Because in Christ, suffering and sadness is only temporary. And on the day of his coming, eternal joy and gladness will be yours. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.